The Tom Woods Show, episode 1425.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, I have the best, nicest, smartest, brightest group of like-minded, friendly folks you can possibly imagine, where we learn from each other, we get outraged with each other, we rejoice with each other. It's a wonderful community of folks, and you, as a loyal listener of The Tom Woods Show, belong inside it. It's called The Tom Woods Show Elite, and you can get in there via supportinglisteners.com. Hi, everybody. Tom Woods here. Ladies of Liberty Week continues on the show today with a content creator known as Liberty Doll. We're going to call her Nikki, her first name, but she does have a career and wants to keep the two things separate, quite understandably. I'll have links all over the show notes page to how you can get her content. That is the name of her YouTube channel, Liberty Doll. TomWoods.com/1425 is the show notes page. She's created content on quite a number of topics. I want to focus primarily today on guns and gun rights and women in particular, and that's where we'll kick things off here. Nikki, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
You are such an extraordinary content creator. You got, as I'm looking at it now, almost 111,000 YouTube subscribers, which is terrific.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
That is intense. You were telling me that it really kind of picked up quite a bit over the past year. I mean, Yes. You've got videos with several hundred thousand views on them, which is not a small feat.
No, it's really strange.
Considering how many other videos people could be watching, right? That's really amazing.
Yeah, it's actually been a pretty surreal experience, especially last month. Yes, was it last month? Well, within the last month or two, I got a YouTube play button, which was really surreal and bizarre to me because I never thought that my channel would get this big and I never thought that YouTube would actually approve my channel to give me a play button in the first place.
So is a play button, is that a recognition of 100,000 subscribers?
Yes, but once you hit 100,000, you still have to go through like a channel audit. So YouTube has to go through and make sure that they haven't randomly decided that you violate one of their 5 million undisclosed and undefined policies. And then they decide to reward you with it if they think that you're good enough, basically.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm looking at the topics you cover are very interesting. I want to start off with the gun issue and then there are other possibilities. But as somebody who releases material on a regular basis, how do you pick the topics? Is it what interests you, or is it an intersection of what interests you and what you think is likely to resonate with the audience, or does that not factor? Are you like one of these artists who say, you know, I can't be hemmed in by what people want of me. I must do what my soul leads me to do. I mean, how do you pick? How do you figure this out?
Well, so on any given week, there's usually about 5 dozen topics that I would want to cover. No, not really, but there's usually 3 or 4. And just by the nature of the fact that I am a one-woman show with a full-time job outside of YouTube, I kind of have to go with what interests me the most, but also what I think that my viewers might like. Sometimes I just say screw it and go with something that I think is like really interesting and important, but I do try to consider both things, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Okay. Is it possible? I know you have a rewarding career. We're not going to disclose anything about it, but do you think, now leaving aside the uncertainty around YouTube for everybody these days, let's pretend that's not a factor. Is it conceivable that if you really wanted to, you could potentially be in a position to have a YouTube career?
Well, so interestingly enough, it's fine to disclose my career, I suppose, because a lot of people that follow me know about it already because I've mentioned it before. But so I am a mental health therapist in the state of Massachusetts. And being a YouTuber, but not only that, a libertarian YouTuber that many people just assume is conservative and many people just assume that, you know, I'm a red-hatted Trump supporter just because I'm not on the left. It's I have to kind of live a double life, like a double agent or a Russian spy or something, for lack of a better term right now. I know that Russia is not like the best word to say, but you know, I have to live this double life, and it's come to a point where I've had clients stumble upon some of my videos and stumble upon my channel. And luckily, no current clients watched the videos. They chose not to, which was very good. Because, you know, I sit in my office and day after day, I hear people coming in with anxiety and depression about how the world is going and about how Trump is ruining the world and liberals need to take over. And I mean, it's a legitimate problem. You know, I have people coming in talking about wanting to commit suicide because there are people that are not in favor of the Green New Deal and things like that. So I have to be really, really careful about some of my exposure. And being now that my channel is getting so much bigger and there are other outlets asking for me to, you know, appear on their shows, it's come to a point where I've actually kind of had to make a decision. As long as I'm going to be in Massachusetts, and I am not in Massachusetts by choice right now. So I've kind of decided that, yeah, towards the end of the year, I'm going to try to make that move and shift more towards doing more YouTube and podcasts and things like that, just because, you know, nothing, the internet is forever. And like I said, the environment that I live in is kind of forcing my hand in having to make that choice and having to make it actually a lot sooner than I thought I would have to.
I will say, let me just say one word in defense of Massachusetts. I know the politics is all messed up and all that, but I grew up there and I miss it like crazy. There's so many areas that are picturesque and beautiful. There's so much culture in the city, so many things to see and do. Mm-hmm. I would never, ever be bored there. And they're cute little historic towns whose histories go back, you know, nearly 400 years.
Yes.
You can't replicate that anywhere else in the country.
That is true. That is true. But, you know, I have spent some time, well, I honeymooned in South Carolina and we spent some time in Charleston and it felt really similar to some of the old parts of Boston. And I mean, I grew up in a big city. I grew up in a horrible city, Springfield, Massachusetts, which was for a few years in a row on in the top 20 most dangerous city in the country.
Yeah, I don't recommend Springfield, right?
No. So I grew up there and now I'm at the point where, you know, I would really be happy living out on like 5 or 10 acres, maybe half an hour from a city or something, and just being by myself.
All right. So you and I, we'd have to just sit around having drinks or something because I'm the exact opposite. I'm so sick of that. I'm so sick of living in the middle of nowhere. I've just had enough of it. I want the connection to a city. But anyway, this is really not why people tune into the Tom Woods Show to right. hear my petty grievances about the world. Let's talk instead. Let's switch gears and talk about an issue that's been dear to your heart, namely guns. And in particular, what I want to talk about, given that this is a week where I'm bringing female content creators onto the show, mm-hmm. it's not like we just need to talk women's issues the entire time. But nevertheless, there is a particular angle on yes. guns that does apply more or less exclusively to women. So mm-hmm. how would you make the case to women that this issue matters? There's a particular way in which it matters to them.
Well, because no matter which way you cut it, you know, this whole feminism argument about women and men are completely the same and completely equal is kind of just a crock. No matter what way you cut it, men's bodies and women's bodies are built differently. Even if you take like a female bodybuilder, she's only going to have a third of the upper body strength of a man and half of the lower body strength as a man. I mean, that's just the way that we're built mechanically. So, you know, feminists and a lot of women talk about being worried to walk down the street at night and talk about, you know, being afraid of being attacked or assaulted. Well, you're not going to be able to physically fight off a man. That's just not going to happen, even if you, I don't know, are well-trained in jujitsu or something. So having a firearm, carrying a firearm is the great equalizer. It's for women to defend themselves. It's for disabled people to defend themselves. It's for people who are elderly and feeble to defend themselves. You know, that, you know, can help you feel empowered to be able to walk down the street at night without fear. And, you know, that's why I think that gun rights are so important for women. You want to protect yourself and potentially protect your family, small children.
Can I want to say a quick thing about Massachusetts, given that I was singing its praises. Let's take an opportunity to knock it down a few notches, as long as we're on the subject of guns, because I'm quite sure you would have things to say about gun laws in Massachusetts. Now, what would those be?
Well, if you enjoy shooting sports, Massachusetts is probably the worst place to be. I mean, I suppose it's a toss-up between Massachusetts, New York, and California. But, you know... I see these headlines and these videos about people being like, oh my God, this horrible new law is being introduced in this state or on the federal level or what have you. And I'm like, yeah, Massachusetts already has that and has had that for probably 10 years or something. So these gun laws that are being proposed in other states and on the federal level is just not surprising to me. I think I've even developed like a little bit of apathy about it because I just sort of expect it. At this point,
what would you recommend? I think I had it's been a long time. I'm pretty sure, but I had a guest on, a woman a long time ago, and she was part of a group that helped to train women in firearms use. Mm-hmm. So, supposing you lived in a state where let's say the laws were a little bit more favorable, what specific advice would you give women? Like, what kind of a gun do you recommend that they get, and they need to be trained and so on and so forth? I mean, what do they need to know, basically?
Well, I would say that your best bet is to, I mean, I don't know how ranges work in other states, but their best bet is to find someone with a collection or find a range that lets you rent a gun for the hour or whatever, and to try out a bunch of different ones until you find one that you are comfortable shooting, because that's the number one thing. You want to be comfortable using it if you have to. You don't want to be afraid of it. You want to have healthy respect for it, of course, but you don't want to be afraid of it. So lots of practice, choosing a firearm that fits you, and also if you can, 9mm or higher. I've heard stories of like 22s getting stuck in screen windows, so that's not really going to help you any.
Fair enough. How did you first get into the whole world of guns?
Well, let's see. Basically, in 2010, I was, you know, in the dating world, and I met someone, and he basically was like, hey, Ron Paul. And I was like, who's that? And he just basically laid all of Ron Paul's work down in front of me, and Bastiat's The Law and a bunch of different materials. And I was like, wow, this makes sense. And at the time, I was also living in the wonderful neighborhood of Dorchester, in one of the most dangerous parts of Dorchester.
Well, see, this is why you don't like Massachusetts. Live where I lived in North Andover and had a wonderful childhood.
Okay.
All right,
well,
go ahead. All right.
We had different experiences.
Okay, all right.
And, you know, I lived in this one building there for about, I think, 10 months, and I was the only one in the whole building that did not get mugged during that 10-month period. And I was like, wow, I should probably, you know, do something to protect myself. And at the time I had pepper spray that my loving grandmother had given me, not realizing that it was illegal in the state of Massachusetts at the time. And I was like, oh, this doesn't feel like enough. And then I, through my career, when you start out as a mental health therapist, you start out having to do in-home therapy, which means that you are taking people on these state insurances that are low income and live in the projects in places that are terrible, violent places, you know, Fall River, New Bedford, Roxbury. At one point, I very narrowly missed being caught in a drive-by shooting. I was working with gang members, Bloods, Crips, Latin Kings, and, you know, they're protecting themselves. Well, I should probably protect myself if I'm going to be in their neighborhood, right? And so, I mean, it all kind of stemmed from there, I would say.
I've heard some people say that it's easier to get a gun than it is to get contraception. And I think you've answered this, but the kinds of things they say, or that I wish as a woman, I wish if only I had as many rights as a gun, which is just so preposterous when you actually list out all the restrictions on guns that no woman in her right mind would want to have placed on her.
Yeah, that's actually a video that I'm working on right now.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
I would say It's a lot. I mean, even if you're getting an illegal gun, it's probably still easier to get birth control, because even with an illegal gun, you got to find the guy on the street corner in Brockton that knows a guy that knows a guy. So it's probably still easier, I would say, to get birth control. But I mean, as far as getting a gun, if you do it legally, it's not easy at all. If you do it illegally, then you just have to find someone that knows someone that knows someone in the inner city. And that's about it.
What is it? What are the laws in Massachusetts relating to open carry?
So open carry is allowed. However, because it is such an anti-gun environment, technically speaking, and this has been told to me by firearms lawyers, say you decide to open carry, someone sees it, someone freaks out, they call the police. The police come and you get charged with disturbing the peace. Or there was a guy that went into an emergency room while he was carrying, and he was charged with brandishing a firearm, even though it was holstered. So you get charged with one of those. And Massachusetts is a may issue state. So even if you pass all the many, many requirements for your firearms license, it is at the discretion of the local police chief. So he could hypothetically look at your record and be like, oh, you got charged with disturbing the peace or brandishing a firearm. You know what? I don't think that you are able to responsibly carry a gun, and then they could take away your license. So it's allowed, but discouraged, and with a lot of, it's just not a great idea.
You've done a video on the assault rifle question.
Yes.
And it seems that that's one of those issues where if you know even one paragraph's worth of knowledge on this subject, you know more than anybody who's criticizing you.
Yes.
It's amazing. I mean, that's not true of a lot of topics, but it sure is about this one. So you have a video that I see right now is between 8 and 9 minutes long. If you had less time than that, let's say, and you had to give a short answer, what should people think about so-called assault rifles?
Well, they should know that the ban is based on pretty much purely cosmetic features that aren't often on civilian firearms. You know, a civilian isn't walking around with a grenade launcher attachment at the end of their rifle. Number one. Number two, things are not technically assault rifles unless they have selective fire, which means they are capable of full auto. Also, mostly not allowed in civilian hands unless you have like an FFL or a tax stamp and are willing to spend several thousands of dollars to get a fully automatic gun. And number three, that believe it or not, assault rifles are actually a lot less powerful than hunting rifles, but people think that hunting rifles are okay because they say hunting. That's the general, really condensed version.
So it's on that basis that the hysteria comes?
Yeah. Most people think that assault rifles are horribly deadly weapons, and any weapon is deadly if you use it in a deadly manner. But, you know, as mass shootings aside, which are very, very rare, believe it or not, you know, rifles are used in roughly about 2% of crimes every year if you look at the FBI crime data. So they're looking to ban something under the guise of it being to stop gun violence, but they're trying to ban something that isn't really even involved in gun violence. And as far as, you know, being caught in a mass shooting, you have a better chance of being struck by lightning or drowning in your own bathtub. You have a better chance of hitting the Mega Millions Powerball than being caught in a mass shooting. It's really that rare. It's just the media hype that psychologically make people think that it's a bigger problem than it is.
I remember, and this is surprising because I am pretty cynical about the media, but I remember being quite surprised to see the breakdown of the number of supposed, you know, gun incidents on school grounds. Mm-hmm. And they say, oh, it's been this many this year. Then you look at them and it could be after hours when there was nobody there, a gun went off by accident.
Yep.
And they call that a school shooting. I mean, it's stupid. I mean, that there's no way that's an accident. You know, there's no way. I mean, nobody's that dumb. That obviously they're pushing an agenda there. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I want to know is, it's so obvious to me that women in particular, for the reasons you mentioned, would want to defend themselves. This is obviously a way to defend themselves that equalizes the playing field. It doesn't matter how physically strong the man is because you've got a gun.
Right.
So my question about that would be, it would seem to me that feminists above all would favor the idea of women being armed. Above all. And so what I want to know is, given that I know that's not the case, I know there you can find feminists for firearm rights. I know that. But mm-hmm. the fact that they would need to name their organization, that indicates that it's unusual.
Right.
What is it that they're saying in response to your arguments, that you should just call the police?
Well, they're saying you should call the police, or, well, we shouldn't have to carry anyways because men should know not to do dangerous things.
Oh, are you kidding me? Is that the argument?
Yes. Which, I mean, okay, sure, but it's not your average mentally stable, healthy male that is attacking or assaulting people. So, you know, the average man knows right from wrong and knows that assaulting people is bad. So someone that doesn't have that sense of morality, you can't teach them not to do something immoral.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. But that's true of, I mean, really, if these people would therefore, logically, they would have to say that, I mean, they would have to be against the U.S. military completely. Because why should we have to respond with violence? If only, you know, those people shouldn't be invading us. Okay, they shouldn't. That's true.
Right.
But I would want to defend myself. Now, I know the U.S. military is a controversial thing, but you see the point. That there's no, my point is, there's no way they're being consistent with this.
Oh, absolutely not.
That's a surprise. Lack of consistency. All right, so
for a second I thought you were serious, no. But I was like, "Oh no!"
Oh, for heaven's sake!
Oh no!
No! You never take me seriously on stuff like that. All right, so that's an issue where the thing is, it comes up in cycles because the issue of guns seems to come up, of course, when there is a mass shooting,
mm-hmm.
and then suddenly everybody's talking about it,
yes,
and everybody's trying to score political points with it, and it just feels. See, I have an ebook called Your Facebook Friends Are Wrong About Guns. And so I like to promote that ebook at times when mm-hmm. I give it away for free, at times when people are thinking about guns. And in fact, the website is called wrongaboutguns.com. All right, really easy to give away. But even I feel funny pointing to that right after there's been a mass shooting, because even I feel like that's manipulative on my part. Mm-hmm. So I don't really want to get caught up in this. But yet, I don't know what else to do because that's the very moment everybody's screaming and caterwauling about the need to suppress guns.
Right. It's tough because you don't want to cheapen a tragedy with an agenda, but unfortunately that's what the anti-gun politicos are doing. And so it kind of forces your hand where you don't really have much of a choice but to do that and be like, hey, look, well, okay, this is terrible, but also look at this counter argument.
Right. So if you can conduct yourself that way, then I think it's legitimate certainly to be discussing it. What would you say in the course of discussing this issue over the years have been maybe the greatest misconceptions that people have in the general public? Just people who don't really have an axe to grind one way or the other, they're not ideologues one way or the other, but they all seem to be repeating the same falsehood.
Well, I think number one, when they say guns kill people, because no, it's people that kill people. And I know that that's an argument that's heard a lot and a lot of people dismiss because they're like, oh, well, the gun is the weapon. But the reality of it is, if someone is intent on doing harm, they're going to do harm no matter what the weapon. You know, in my field, everyone says like, oh, you know, guns are responsible for suicide. And it's like, well, yes, guns are used in suicide. But I've seen someone try to commit suicide by swallowing a battery. I've seen someone try to commit suicide by eating their mattress. Or using the spring in a toilet paper holder roll. So, I mean, people will find a way no matter what. In violence, you know, more people are hurt in incidents with hands and feet than with guns. And people love to use Australia for an example. And it's like, oh, okay, well, sure, you know, they banned guns. And so suicide rates by gun have gone down. But if you Google, suicide is still the number one cause of death for people ages 15 to 44 in Australia. So it's not the guns that are the issue, number one. The number two misconception is probably the idea that if there's a gun in the room and no one is touching it, that it's just magically going to go off.
Right, right. Seriously, it's like there's some crazy superstition about the power of guns. And even if people might come back with, well, I see what you're saying about suicide, but the fact is a gun, and particular types of guns, can do a lot of damage in a short amount of time when you're in a very crowded space. You know, you can take out a lot more people with a gun in that case than you can with your fists. But then the answer to that would be, just along the lines, or one of the answers would be along the lines of what you've said, even leaving aside the possibility that somebody in that crowd could be armed and just take the shooter out, mm-hmm. even leaving that aside, if they don't, if you don't have access to guns, then people will just make bombs.
Right.
You just figure, I mean, they'll, one way or another, you want to take out a lot of people. They're away, or they'll drive their car into the building.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. So, I mean, look at in England, you know, guns are banned and they've been having crazy knife crime. And there was a few months where they were having more homicides than New York City. And it was people using knives.
Yeah, absolutely crazy.
Yep.
So there's that. But there is also, I think, as a common misconception, and you've hit on this a little bit, but there is this misconception that the reason that the U.S. has problems with its murder rate or with mass shootings is that it has liberal gun laws compared to other countries. And so now the thing is, there are plenty of countries that have liberal gun laws where things aren't working out quite so well. They never cite any of those. It's always right. These certain European countries. Mm-hmm. But I mean, how that does, it is very similar to the arguments we hear about national health care. They say, oh, in Europe, things are so much better, but we're stupid and backward here.
Right.
What's the real story of that?
Well, first of all, the US is bigger than most of those countries in Europe and has more people than most of those countries in Europe, number one. Number two, it's a different culture. This country, you know, whether you believe in the Constitution or not, was founded on freedom and these individual rights. And not every other country has that. You know, America has this very, was founded on this very like bootstrapper attitude that you won't find in other places. So you can't compare that at all. And, you know, there people say, oh, well, the liberal gun laws, but you look at places like Arizona and there's very few gun laws and also very few gun crime.
You know, one other thing, a lot of times we'll hear we need common sense gun laws, right? We need this regulation or that regulation. And of course, as usual, the voices are the most shrill after a tragic event. Mm-hmm. But these regulations that they propose, from what I can see, are very similar to the proposed financial regulations after the financial crisis. They're regulations, all right, but mm-hmm. they would not have prevented the episode that just occurred. Right. So yeah, we're going to regulate this and this and this. Okay, even if we had those regulations, you still would have had the financial crisis of 2008. So this is mm-hmm. just a pretext to get something that you wanted for other reasons anyway. I mean, it's like the Patriot Act. You still right. would have had 9/11 with the Patriot Act. So mm-hmm. they wanted the Patriot Act anyway, so they used this opportunity to ram it through. So can we, in fact, are my instincts correct about this, that the so-called common sense gun laws they propose would not actually have prevented the general run of these major shootings?
Well, of course not, because number one, criminals don't follow laws. But on a broader sense, so say look at the red flag laws that are coming through in a lot of places. You know, they say, okay, so if we believe that someone is dangerous, we want to be able to take away their guns. Well, you see, laws like that pretty much already exist. If you are a therapist, a doctor, social worker, anything like that, you are bound by mandated reporting laws. Every state has mandated reporting laws, and most states also have something called Tarasoff laws. So mandated reporting is, if you believe someone is a danger to themselves or to children or something like that, then you need to call, say, a Department of Family Services or the police or a hospital, you know, whatever that state's regulation is. Tarasoff is specifically around if you believe someone is a danger to someone else and warning that person if you believe they're in danger. And anytime you have to do a Tarasoff or mandated reporting, then that person automatically has to be evaluated by a mental health clinician at a hospital. And the police have to get involved in order to bring the person to that hospital. So if there's someone that's dangerous in some way, that's in danger of causing imminent harm, you know, they're already being seen by all of these other people along the way. And if they are so dangerous that they get hospitalized or get a charge or something like that, well, that makes them a federally prohibited person right there. And so the police are going to come and take their guns. We don't need these extra laws and these things that go around due process to take people's guns, because that stuff already exists. And that's just one example of these laws.
Okay, so that is,
just wouldn't stop anything.
Yeah, that is about what I suspected without knowing for sure. That is that it seems to be a pattern over and over and over with the state.
Right.
That it takes advantage of these terrible episodes. So the channel is, your channel is Liberty Doll. How do people get, is there just type Liberty Doll into YouTube and you pop up?
I should, yep. Or you could just type in youtube.com/C/Liberty Doll. So I'm on YouTube. I am also, for those of you that are boycotting YouTube right now over the Crowder, Maza, Vox Adpocalypse. I'm also on BitChute and GunStreamer. I have started uploading all my newer episodes to all the major podcast sites. So I am on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, and the gun videos specifically are uploaded over onto full30.com.
Wow, tremendous. Okay, well, I will put some links up at tomwoods.com/1425 so people can easily click on them and follow you. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate, I know you had a long day and you somehow managed to carve out some time for the Tom Woods
Show. Every day is a long day.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, for me, this is the sixth episode. I was on somebody else's podcast first thing in the morning. And then after that, I did 5 episodes of my show in a day. And so, yeah, I'm about ready to go do something else at this point. But I'm very glad that we were able to fit this in before this day came to an end. So thanks so much and continued good luck. I hope it, before you know it, you'll be at 200,000.
Oh, thank you. And thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
All right, folks, if you are one of these people who just cannot get enough of the Tom Woods Show, you just every day you think, what wonderful thing does that old Woods have in store for me today? Then if you're not a member of the Tom Woods Show elite, I just don't know what to tell you. That is exactly what the doctor ordered for you. And membership in it, where you're going to meet lots of wonderful people, very smart, very interesting, very engaging people. You're going to learn from, you're going to become friendly with. It's just such a great group. Then you got to join the Tom Woods Show Elite through supportinglisteners.com. That's how you get in there. I have many, many, I just added a whole new membership level for all you people who just want to support the show like crazy. There are many, many benefits to supporting the show, but one of them is membership in the Tom Woods Show Elite. What are you not doing in there if you're listening to this show every day? So check it out over at supportinglisteners.com. I've got several more episodes this week that now the one, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you because they're going to surprise you and you're going to love them. That's all I have to say. Thanks for listening.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.